Welcome to the podtech.net Fresh Voices podcast. We're here at the Supernova Conference with Chris Thomas, who's the chief strategist at Intel in solutions in the marketplace. He's done great programs within Intel in the market, looking at all new stuff. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
We were just talking before the podcast about some of the things you've done in the past at Intel and what you're doing now. But it really, at Supernova here, it's about a new environment.
Right.
Consumers now are digitally connected, digitally savvy. Younger generations coming in, there's a new expectation. Vendors are trying to develop solutions. Technologies are coming in. You got Web 2.0, Media 2.0, Consumer 2.0. What is the environment like from your perspective? And specifically, let's talk about the users and what they're doing.
It's an exciting environment right now because users are driving change for the first time. We've got a market, you know, what I would call the ISV market, where we are introducing products into the user community, which has worked pretty well for corporate. But we have a new generation, which whether you want to call it Web 2.0, I call it the Generation Y Web 2.0 intersection, that is actually developing themselves. They're taking scripting languages and putting things together. They're mashing things up is a new term. And the mashup camp is actually coming out in a couple of weeks.
We do the podcast for them, too, so we're really into that as well.
And the idea is this community shares everything. They expect things to be out there, shareable, integratable, and quickly adaptable to new capabilities.
And this is kind of, obviously, you know, everyone who knows the web knows about the old days, walled gardens. Let's get the eyeballs and let's monetize them. People have been marketed to that way, and they're actually rejecting it. I mean, people have no notion of DRM users these days. They don't want DRM jammed down their throat. Talk about some of the things you're seeing from a technology perspective that's enabling some of the change in things.
There's two camps there, and it's, you know, how do we ensure legal, you know, compliance to copyright and the like, and then it's the other side, which is the community wanting to consume and use it, and the community kind of works in a different way. They figure out how to make it all work, you know, whether it's legal or not is somewhat unknown, and then eventually when there's a usable model, you start to see things backing up and figuring out how to make it legal. But in the first round of a development and cycle, an unknown team of people are working together, and there's actually now, you know, heroes out in the marketplace, like the guy that wrote the DVD, you know, decoder and things like that, where they're actually, you know,
freeform developers. They're freelance developers.
And there's a known, not necessarily a broadcasted environment, but there's a known community of who's leading in that is very different from the past.
And how is this shaping out in terms of just overall community development, in terms of, you know, the world's now connected? Mm-hmm. You have traditional network providers, you know, broadband and cellular now carriers and stuff with mobile devices. But now everyone's connected. The work environment is changing. How is that impacting some of the technologies and solutions out there?
Well, we're seeing, and it's got a positive and a negative bend. We've got a positive bend, which is just mass amounts of new innovation. So, you know, if you think about it, wikis and blogs and you know, RSS feeds and things have just taken off over the last couple of years. And we're now seeing, you know, products and things coming into the market that are, we need a wiki, right?
Who would have... It's a revolution.
You know, it's a revolution. It's like, we need a website. Now we need a wiki, or somebody needs a blog. And so we have new labels of product things entering the market that have almost got to the point they're institutionalizing on one side. On the other side, you have this freeform environment, which is a lot like the early days of the PC, where everybody's writing code and it's walking on top of each other. So if I plugged in my network card, it walked on top of my modem, and now I had to figure it all out. Or if I installed one software, it didn't work with somebody else's because we walked on each other's memory. There's a lot of unknowns in this world that are just being worked
through
by the community.
Let's talk about that particular point, because that's a really important point. A lot of people talk about this bubble that's going on. But what you're highlighting there is just basic evolution around complexity. So,
yes.
You know, in a development basis, is, you know, something comes out, people accept it, and there's an innovation around making it simpler.
Right.
And that's what you were referring to. Hey, someone says, hey, this is a pain in the ass. We've got to fix it.
Right.
So this is not a bubble. This is real innovation.
This is real innovation happening. And what's exciting, you know, in the old days, there was a vendor you had to go, you know, pound on their door and get them to fix their next release. release cycles here seem to be in hours, minutes, and you know, at least days, where people are saying, "Oh, I can fix that. I can give you an answer. I can show you how to make those changes." And so we're watching kind of the idle speed of improvement going at the speed of the community. On the other hand, you know, one of the things we're working on specifically at Intel is there are things that get lost in that context, which is the concept of, you know, the network's always there. Well, in reality, the network may always be around, but not always connectable. You know, whether there's a password or somebody's billing model in place on a Wi-Fi environment, or somebody's WAN connection doesn't go around a mountain or whatever. You know, we're designing as if we're always connected, but we're actually working in a world that we used to call occasionally connected, and we're now starting to say occasionally disconnected. We're trying to be online, but we're not always online.
We're not truly always. We're not always connected. In a metaphorical sense, yeah, we have more access than ever before. People are connected, meaning they can be connected at any time, but we're not 100% connected. So to your point, we're disconnected a lot of the time.
We're disconnected a lot of times. So we initiated an initiative in 2002 called the Mobilized Software Initiative. And it was about designing code that worked in this, you know, on-offline environment and actually traveled between networks. So if you're on Wi-Fi and then you go to a wired and then you go to WAN, why do you have to turn everything off and start over? Well, you do
interoperability
today
for the consumer, so they don't have to do anything.
They don't see it.
Yeah, transparency.
And so what I'm seeing in this next generation of this innovation is you've got the community innovation intersecting the corporate best practices and design best practices. And as they intersect, you're going to see a rapid adoption of the better new technologies. One of the exciting ones I've seen recently was Salesforce.com. They purchased Sandia Labs. And overnight, Salesforce.com applications became mobilized, which meant if they were offline, they were still working. You could fill in your customer information. When they got back online, it automatically synchronized. The user saw very little difference in reality of using the product.
They abstracted away some complexity.
But they abstracted away the complexity. They made it more valuable, and they eliminated things like, gee, I'm not online. I need to remember to type this in later.
That's the winning model then. I mean, basically making it simpler and easier. Again, that's a theme that was in Web 1.0.
It absolutely is. And so the exciting thing in this change is it's happening faster. The developer community has gone from, I would say, thousands of developers to millions of developers. And those developers are a generation that was growing up tech savvy. So we're watching people that don't seem limited by what was possible in the past. I mean, most of us at my age came out when they were, you know, I started on a 16K of RAM memory mainframe, right? You know, so we were limiting and doing assembly code just to make things work. We've now got near unlimited bandwidth, near unlimited processing power.
Great programming capability.
Great programming capabilities. Assembly, you know, tripping capabilities where you're not having to compile to make things start. It's a fun world.
Let's talk about the assembly, because we're living in a real-time assembly environment, and that's obviously changing some of the developers' thinking out there, and Intel has made a shift in particular. But really, I mean, isn't that changing how users are getting information? It's a real-time assembly environment, which means the users want their stuff to be on their screen immediately. But that changes a lot of back-end technologies.
It changes a lot of things. You know, RSS feeds is a great example of that, right? That's an assembly technology. I'm taking a feed and plugging it into whatever I'm using to read that feed, and whatever beyond that I have on my desktop is functioning, or have on my web server that's then feeding it off to something else. So people are putting puzzle pieces together. Now, a couple of things happen in that are interesting. One, the servers get more and more busy. You know, so those grow. So there needs to be a business model for why these feeds are valuable. And we have to find, you know, ways to, you know, manage the consumption of the power, manage the bandwidth in and out of
these. These are embryonic stages of real innovation opportunities.
Absolutely.
So if you're a VC or you're an entrepreneur, this is going to be heaven.
It's a wonderful place to play. Think about an environment, and I've actually was talking about this with a partner the other day. Think about wikis. Wikis, how often are they being used? Some of them are being pounded, and some of them sometimes are just being pounded for a couple days, and then, you know, they're fairly low use. And then they get hit again really hard. think about a wiki that could talk to the hardware platform and decide how much power it's consuming, and then throttle it down.
So it's sleep mode for wikis.
Asleep, but not totally turned off mode. And then as the usage dials up, dial it up. Well, those type of capabilities are totally valid, but not there yet. We're building platforms that are capable of starting to do that type of thing. The technology is starting to be available where people would say, well, why would that matter? What is the cost of keeping these systems up and running? It's going to be electricity. It's going to be the licenses and software cost of running it, the hardware platform itself. So the community needs this, Moore's Law reduction in cost and et cetera. It also needs to be savvy about their capabilities. But one other thing's happening that people aren't thinking about, which is this rich versus thin client. We're actually, people are calling this a thin client, but the client's getting a lot thicker. Things like Ajax running on the client are making a heavier client, Macromedia Flash running, are being fed by these systems.
Actually, yeah, if you think about it, it's thin in the sense in the old way where this managed service is powering a lot of the utility, but now with media, the thin client is getting fatter.
It's getting fatter.
Because it needs to be more robust.
Where do you want to run your video? Do you want to stream it?
Yeah.
And have the hiccups and the latency issues, or do you want to cache it and run it locally?
It's kind of like, you get thin and then you get fat again because there's more, you're more prospering going on.
Exactly. So
it's just different code.
It's a different model.
Different code base.
Different code base and different model.
Got
and
it.
And so we're watching, and I've started to label this more services equals more cores. People are calling this thin client. I'm going, wait, I'm going to need more processor cores. Why? Because I've got all these services coming at me. I got 20 RSS feeds coming
in. Your multitasking actually has increased.
My multitasking has increased. My threads have increased. It's not one app anymore.
It's a different programming model.
Exactly. And so all of a sudden, I'm actually servicing my network feeds as one core.
This is a software architecture issue, and that's one of the reasons why Microsoft has a lot of challenges right
now. Absolutely.
And, you think about Microsoft, and, I'm a big fan of Bill Gates, and always been, but, they're infested with malware. People basically, I talk to everyone these days, like, hey, I'm buying a Mac because they don't have viruses. It's infested with malware, and the programming model's changing. The user model's changing. What's that mean for future software developers?
I don't think Microsoft's the only traditional ISV, OSV in this environment. I see a couple of changes like this that happened to us in the past. Probably the big one, if you think about Microsoft, was actually what they actually did by adding the TCP/IP stack to their OS. They pretty much eliminated the concept of a NOS. So Novell and Banyan and others were, running along solving a problem that became, a non-problem. We went up and we had the same thing happening with bulletin boards and other, sharing environments that were modem-based and not net-based. And all of a sudden, this thing called HTML and web servers showed up. And we just had this extreme change. Well, eventually that web server now became integrated to the business systems. We called that e-business, and we watched...
Transaction systems now are becoming now populated with that core technology.
Exactly.
It's growing up. So that's growing up.
So now we take the next move.
The RSS-based stuff.
And what's really changed is the user interface is no longer just the browser. If you think about it, we're not logging into somebody's server and it's controlled.
Well, there's new clients, aggregators.
There's new client aggregators, there's new server aggregators. If you think about this mashup camp environment, most of the applications are developed on the client, moved into a server.
It really is a dream technique.
And pushing it together.
I mean, this is a field day for developers. Creativity, I get really pumped by it. It's pretty amazing.
We're pretty excited about both the innovation we're seeing and also the added demand for computing. I mean, people are buying more computers because they're doing more with them. You're going to start seeing...
In a way, a new Moore's Law is going to evolve out of this, or a new law. Some sort of new law is going to come out of all this.
I believe you'll see a new law, and maybe we'll coin it something here along the way. But if you think about Moore's Law plus Metcalfe's Law, which is the devices on the network... If you now think about the number of scripters or the number of aggregators or mashuppers or whatever you want to call it, putting together a new value, there's going to be a change that we haven't actually experienced yet. But it also changes the way business is done. It changes who's collecting the money, who's driving the capabilities. The media industry is going through this in spades. Where do people get their message? Our Generation Y advisory board we were talking to the other day, I asked them about TV. They said, we don't buy cable. We're
there.
On this thing called YouTube. And we're basically downloading. It's either Netflix or YouTube or, you know, and it's like, well, what do you mean? Well,
they're assembling their own media experience.
We're assembling our own media experience, and the cable's too expensive. It was $5, we'd probably buy it, is what they said. But we don't really need it. And so they didn't say they got rid of TV or video.
They're shifting their consumption patterns based
on what they... changed their consumption pattern.
Got it.
Now they're changing their music consumption pattern, and they're saying, I'm willing to pay for something I want, but not something I don't want. And so the consumer we're talking to is much more savvy and much more capable of building
final
what they
word,
want.
Final word, 5 years from now, what's going to be different in our world relative to consumers? What are they going to be like?
A consumer is going to be as capable of putting together what they want as the current generation developer. The tools, the capabilities are going to be there for them to put together their experience. And so they'll have, you know, a screen in every room that they can move things to. They'll have, you know, my favorite one, just to give you a forward-looking thought process, is I have a five-year-old. He has these action heroes and things that you push the button and they say the same thing over and over again. So they've got a recording in them. Think about this. We put a sensor in there, an RFID type tag that's programmable. He's going to be creating action heroes that are doing things, talking
to
each other, orchestrating.
He's going to be an executive producer of his own play.
Of his own play.
Yeah.
And these things are totally doable in the next generation. And the tools are making that possible for the childlike person to do that.
It's a perfect storm of innovation, development, creativity, and utility.
Exactly.
Chris Thomas with Intel here at Supernova. Thanks so much for the podcast.
Thank you.